copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Thank you for coming to this. I'm sure you're coming with lots of questions, wondering what on earth is Word in the City? Yes, what is this? So that's grabbed you enough to be here, to sit in that seat, and to hear of something that is relatively new in the sense that it's building on something that has existed for 60 years, and now it's going in a new direction with a new model called Word in the City. But I'm going to invite you on a story, on a journey with me, and as I explain what Word in the City is. I will be following the outline. It's all there. So hopefully you won't get lost. It's all going to be on screen as well. And I've got a few images and a few videos to show you too. But all of you are here because you trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen to that. You're devoted to his word. You love his church. And you're passionate about seeing young adults engage with the Bible. And in that description blurb, there are two assumptions that you may not even agree with, but it still drew you to come here. Two assumptions that might have caught your attention. The first one is this, that many, not all, but many young adults are disinterested in the community, culture, ministries, and mission of the church. That's one assumption. You know of young adults who are disinterested. The second one, that many young adults are not engaging with the Bible, whether in the community of the church or not. And with that, if those are correct, those two assumptions are correct, two important questions arise out of that. If the gathering of the church is a key means to engage with the Bible and young adults, and they aren't going, then is there another way? How are young adults going to engage with the Bible? And the second question, if young adults are not engaging with the Bible, what is the future of the church? And it's in response to those questions that Word in the City exists. And that's important to see from the beginning. It is a way for young adults to get into the Bible, full stop, and thus to encounter God. And secondly, it is a way to encourage young adults back into the church and with the church into their cities. Word in the City is not a church. It's there as a support and resource for the church. That is key to understand from the outset. And moving forward in the blurb, going back to that again, if you're holding me up to that, the phrase the missing generation was put in there. And so it's worth defining what we mean by that. Who is the missing generation of the church? And there are terms used various different terms used in different nations and cultures. You've all heard of millennials, and they're born apparently 1984 to 1996. And gets the millennial age range. Or they're known as young adults, or they're known as students and young professionals, or they're known as 18 to 35s. So I'm just identifying the fact there are many terms used, and those terms are defined differently across the world. So in India, I'm told a young adult goes right up to 39. Not doesn't stop at 35 or 30, it goes all the way up. And I also say that beginning because all those terms are useful when it comes to conferences and meetings and strategy meetings, but if you call a young adult a millennial, that doesn't always go down very well. Using that terminology, boxing them in, pigeonholing them, not all of them receive that very well. I think that's just important to note, our language, and especially using that language when it comes to applying to different cultures, it can get difficult. But what do we mean by missing? If that's what we mean by the generation, what do we mean by missing? So I keep hearing people describe that generation as the black hole of church communities. Isn't that lovely? You are the black hole. Where are you? Or the ones falling off the so-called cliff at different stages where they just disappear from church engagement, or commonly known as the dropouts. And that dropout age is actually getting younger every year, it seems. Doesn't just happen at 18. Dropping out can happen a lot earlier than that. And what are the reasons for that? We could have a whole session discussing that. There's real spiritual reasons for that and moral reasons for that. There are struggles, there are hurts, there are frustrations that cause people to drop out. There are normal life circumstances. It's worth understanding what takes place in 20s and 30s. They're leaving home. They're finishing school, university, becoming financially independent, getting married, having a child. There's a lot going on. It is challenging. It is difficult. And also, as Ed Stetzer, who's executive director of the Billy Graham Center for Evangelism, he said that 71% of 18 to 23 drop out of church for a year. Even for a year, even if they were active and involved. So I just want to make sure we don't get totally disheartened as well. There are some natural, normal, practical reasons why people start to become disengaged. That doesn't mean we let them, but know it's happening universally. And also, it's not all negative. There are many 20s and 30s that seem to be dropping out for positive reasons because they want to know more of the Lord and they're struggling to engage in authentic community. There's some reasons coming up as well, not just negative reasons. It's not for me or I prefer this way of life. They're thirsting for the Lord and they want to find more. And so it's important to ask the question, is it really that bad? Is it really that bad? And I think some wise person told me this one time, it's not as bad as we think because it was never as good as we thought. I think that's important. We can really take it to extremes and think, oh, it's a disaster. But the reality is there are many young adults doing amazing things in our churches across the world and standing up for their faith in Jesus Christ in the city. So I don't want to paint a completely bleak picture. The 20s and 30s do not care. But there are many struggling and there are many people worried. Many families are worried. Many church leaders are worried. And perhaps you're sitting here as someone who is worried, who is concerned. So with that, there's a lot of books and research out there. We go on all day. But I just want us to note this. There isn't one type of young adult. Often we try to define them in one paragraph. That's a young adult, that's a millennial. There isn't one type of young adult. Secondly, one solution does not fit all. It's really important to note. But, and we would all agree with this, encouraging young adult to find a way to get engaged with the Bible is fundamental. Whatever it takes. Not one type of young adult, not one who doesn't fit all, but we want to see them get into Scripture. That brings you on to the next point in the outline about the authority of Scripture. What about young adults and their engagement with the Bible? And I went to the University of Oxford. My faith was challenged right to the very core, and I noticed very clearly that there are other authorities in life. One of the biggest was conscience. Whatever I think, whatever I want, I will do. Another huge authority was culture, what it says, where it's going. Another authority was the church. But it seemed to be that Christ, through his word, was secondary to those, or just on the even keel at least. Regarding Scripture as authority is something that is a big challenge for the young adults. And Barna, I've listed some books at the bottom of that sheet that you may want to read. Now, Barna do a lot of research for the US, so there are trends that we can watch, and maybe they apply, but there's still great data there worth reading. I've got loads of stuff here I can pass on, but I want to keep going on with regard to young adults and their engaging with the Bible. And it's worth me asking you now, actually, why do young adults, and I hate using those terms that I've got to, why do you think 20s and 30s struggle to engage with the Bible? Give me some reasons.
I'm going to say because they didn't see it authentically in their parents' lives.
There's a reason, yep. I'm not a parent. I don't know what challenge yet, but I defer to those who are.
The noise, the cultural noise, all the media, all the volume of information and all that, it's not helping at all.
Yeah.
Not relevant.
Irrelevancy?
It's been the voices that they're listening to knock it much more significantly than the voices that promote it. Yeah.
Yep.
My son's 22 at Queen's University.
There you go.
That's the score. Been brought up in the church, became a Christian, but he's 22 years old and he knows a lot, but he doesn't regard it as an authoritative voice.
The construction of our belief system.
Go on, share a bit more on that.
I believe that it's in many things like education, everything you learn in university, and you will go to the practice, you realize that it's all is different. The same, it's like some values of the family, and now it's different because of changing generations. And it's for the worldview of the conservative Christianity, it's everything is daunting and because deconstructing in this age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so important. But going out of the home into the university and workplace is a massive challenge to that.
I think they're not receiving the kind of Bible teaching that makes the Bible interesting to them. Like, for instance, there are many seeker-sensitive churches. They have a very like soft approach towards young adults, and I think that's part of the reason that they don't get engaged with in-depth Bible study.
Yeah. Going to follow or because I'll get lost behind. Yep, great. And there's like some other reasons I can name. Often we can enjoy Bible teaching from the front, and that's great. Yet young adults, or we can dislike doing the reading ourselves. And that gulf between the preacher and those reading and studying themselves is very real. Others, not knowing where to start, just needing practical help, or fed up studying alone, want to study more in community. Also, like according to Barna, the two biggest hindrances or obstacles to discipleship and reading the Bible are busyness of life, and secondly, lack of commitment to discipleship. So there are very real reasons, barriers, difficulties, challenges to get engaged with Scripture. And so that brings us to the cities of Europe. I don't know how many cities we're representing here, but you know your city a lot better than me, but it's a very complex space. It's very exciting, it's buzzing, new ideas, new innovations, the decision-making that goes on, the creativity. But yet, as someone just said, there's a lot of anti-God voices, worldviews, philosophies. We heard them this morning, naturalism, materialism, pluralism, all the isms come flying in, chance and necessity. That is a difficult place to stand for this exclusive and supernatural truth of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. And therefore, if there are so many words going on in our cities, if there's a word frenzy, the big question is, what words are we going to? What words are we listening to? And that is right behind Word in the City, wanting to bring the word into the city, but right in the midst of all the other competing voices. And that's why it's focused on the city centre context. So there's a bit of a background before we jump in to understand why Word in the City exists and where it is today. Now, all those things were in my heart. Word in the City and my journey has arisen out of local church, young adults ministry. 2 years in, a lot of young adults come in. We want to love and connect with them, but they're moving across the world all the time. They're not staying in one place. So the one thing we thought we could do is help them get in to Bible study, equip them, give them the tools for wherever they're going. So two choices came to our minds. Do we start our own Bible study? Wonderful. If you've got Bible studies going on in your church for young adults and it's going well, super. But we took a step back to ask the Lord, is there something out there that you've already built and created for young adults that we could use as a resource? And that brings me then to tell you a bit about Bible Study Fellowship. So Bible Study Fellowship, at that point, I had never heard of it before in my life. So I was on a discovery journey to find out what God had done in and through Bible Study Fellowship. It's an organization that started with one lady, former missionary in China, British born, moved her way back to the West Coast in the USA. After years in China, a few women asked her, could you please teach us how to study the Bible? She took a step back, went to the Lord, what should I do? She returned and said, yes, I will, but I refuse to spoon feed you. I give you that story because in the very DNA of this is not spoon feeding. It's enabling young adults to think biblically themselves and giving them all the tools. So from that, the first Bible study fellowship study kicked off. Not long after that, There were many more women's only Bible studies that started, that led to men's only Bible studies starting, then children's programs of that, then young adults Bible studies. For a certain number of decades, it was only in the US. Then it started to spread across the world. Today, there are 1,100 different Bible study fellowship locations in 39 different countries. And the purpose of those Bible studies were to be interdenominational, people from all backgrounds, to come together to study the Bible in depth. That was the goal, that was the focus, and then they went back out. So to give you a snapshot of what BSF is, that schematic helps. So you can take a photo of that if you wish. So the vision of Bible Study Fellowship is to magnify God and mature His people. That is the ultimate goal. But the mission was to see global, in-depth Bible classes producing passionate commitment to Christ, His Word, and the Church. Notice the focus on in-depth, and notice the focus on Christ, His Word, and the Church. And the core values that run right through the organization, which we could take time on, but we need to go through quickly: dependence on God, a passion for Christ, compassion for people, excellence, integrity, and humility. And so far, they have 10 studies on those books of the Bible that run through an entire year and follow a fourfold approach. And I'm going through this very quickly. But the fourfold approach is to get people reading Scripture first and foremost, then discussing their insights in discussion groups, then listening to a lecture, and then getting extra notes. I'm giving you this because it's a very important background to Word in the City, which is a new model of this, which has existed since the 50s. So as I say, this has had a global impact. God's done a lot in people's lives, transforming them through the study of the Word and getting them back in their churches. Today there are over 500,000 men, women, and children jumping into this Bible study across the world, but very, very few in Europe. Which is makes it interesting that Word in the City is starting in Europe. Hey, what about that? And that brings me to the story of Word in the City. You can ask me more questions about that later. But Word in the City began with a prayer in a local church context. And I referred to that prayer earlier. Loads of young adults need to get into Scripture. How do we help them? Do we start our own? Or is there something else out there? And at that very same time, just wanted to share this too. In 2009, there was a group of people that started praying for Belfast. They're based in the States. Started praying for Belfast 2009 before I'd even heard of BSF or anything about it. And they prayed specifically for something for the young adults. So I only jumped into this story in 2015. So someone had been praying for 6 years. So at the start I didn't have a clue what was going on, but then when I discovered someone was praying, I knew, okay, God must be doing something. I just wanted to pass it on. The prayer started this. Asking God, what do you want? Where we're going? We'll go. And so the journey so far, I jumped on to the journey. I then audited BSF, pretty much. I questioned it to death. I started being very cynical. You know, I never really embraced parachurch organizations. It's always local church and teaching the Bible and getting alongside young adults. So this was the first. So I began with loads of questions. They invited me to a pastor's breakfast in Belfast. I then discovered the leadership. I discovered the heart. I discovered the values. And I thought, whoa, this is great. But I didn't like how it looked. Didn't like how it felt. I thought, this needs to upgrade. It's brilliant at the heart. But please, let's move forward. Let's catch up. We're in 2015 then, now 2017. So then they invited me to a Cardiff retreat, where they bring all their classes together. I discovered more. I discovered a refreshing unity. I wasn't asked what church I go to, or what theology I had in a certain thing, or what denomination I was involved in. I was united with people who loved the Lord, loved His Word, loved His church, and wanted to get involved in mission. I just say that because that just caught my heart instantly. Coming from Northern Ireland, we have churches in every corner, and all denominations represent. It's like, yes, we're united. Let's go forward. So that after the Cardiff retreat, I then went out to the US, where this is based. Still loads of questions. Sat back on a plane wondering, God, what are you doing with my life? I have no idea why I'm going over here. But I went, and I discovered there two main things: the praying culture, but also a brilliant training resource. The trained people in the scriptures and the trained leaders for the church. I just thought, this is brilliant. Those are the two major cries for my local church. How do we get 20s and 30s in the scripture? And how do we see more leaders for all our ministries? And I thought, huh, it's too good to be true. I still had questions. So the journey continued. I returned to Belfast. We started a prayer group. We went into Belfast. We went to a neutral venue, looked at the culture, asked God, should this be here? Didn't know what would happen next. Only 12 of us met together. That led to, in June 2015, launching a pilot study. And then we experienced a full study of the BSF course. We studied Revelation. That was the first book, start to finish, every verse. How scary is that? I'd never taught more than 1 week or 2 weeks in a year in my life, and suddenly I jumped in to teaching all the way through Revelation. That's a miracle in itself, I promise you. I was the most reluctant teacher, preacher on the planet. Hated it. But here I am now sharing with you the story. After that, Word in the City was born. We then launched in this past year into studying John from start to finish. Next week is the last one. And then other cities started to want this too. So it's in Belfast. It's in Armagh and Lisburn, which is in Northern Ireland. Then the Republic of Ireland, Dublin. And now London. So something is moving. Not something, someone is moving this forward and starting groups in other cities across Europe. So there's the story. I just wanted to let you know the heart of it, the story, why I'm here, how I got connected with it. And now we're going to get into a bit more specific. So what we're doing at the start of every study is doing a promo video like this. You're going to recognize this guy. I'm not the center of Word in the City, by the way. I know my face is here, my face is up there. But this is our first video where we introduce the theme and purpose of the book for the year. So the study goes right through from September to June. So we're about to jump into Romans next year, and we're going to do the same thing. So this video is what we do to promote and invite people to come along to the Bible study. Okay? You can watch it later on the sound if you wish, but I'm going to keep going through. So what is Word in the City? You've got a bit of the background, you've got a bit of the story. Thanks for listening to that. I thought it was important to give you context. But let's look at what's happening today. So Word in the City, tagline, encounter God through in-depth Bible study. That's the focus, to encounter God through in-depth Bible study. What is it? It is Bible study training. I emphasize the training purpose. It's a training center designed to help young adults read the Bible, know God, serve the church, and benefit the city. Read the Bible, to know God, to get back out, to serve God in the church, and with the church into the city. Now, with that, we recognize that there's all sorts of people in a city, okay? There are people who are new to the Bible, either Christian or not Christian. There are people who are Christians wanting to find a way to get into disciplined Bible study. And thirdly, there are people who are experienced students and want to go deeper. So with the Bible study, there are three different tracks. A person who's new to the Bible, how do they get in the scripture? Secondly, a person who wants to develop the discipline, how do they get into it? And thirdly, the experienced student. I just want to let you know that, so that we're listening to the city. Now, it's based on the fivefold method of in-depth Bible study. The first layer of the Bible study is called solo study. And here's a quick explanation. That is developing a weekly routine and daily rhythm of engaging with the text itself. Our goal is to get people reading scripture. We don't want to create things that get in the way of that or spoon feed. Secondly, discussion group. So that's an example of a discussion group in Belfast. Ask questions and share what you're learning with fellow members in a facilitated discussion group at our weekly gathering. So it meets weekly, they gather together, they share their insights from the solo study, and they discuss it in a group. Again, I'm going quickly here on purpose so we can get through. So that's the second layer. The third layer is a live lecture. Engage with interactive Bible teaching and storytelling, covering the topics and issues raised both in the solo study and group discussions. So what we have for that, as well as an app, which allows people to ask anonymous questions. So a lot of people don't like asking questions out loud, so we have an app running the whole time. At the very end, there's a Q&A. And then finally, or penultimately, the next level, receive training in Bible study techniques and dig deeper into specific related topics. So behind BSF is a wonderful leadership and board of leaders, pastors, scholars who write the materials and provide these in-depth materials. And these notes are given to everyone who participates in the Bible study. And then finally, and crucially, Word Alive. This is not an information brain-stuffing Bible study. The focus of this is to train in the Word to get back out there. And the Word Alive element is exploring ways in which you can apply what you're learning by living actively in your church and in culture. Or with that tagline, serve the church, benefit the city. That's the focus. The application runs right the way through that. And there we pray that many more young adults go out of there, go back to their churches, start leading, and beyond that, start witnessing. Okay? Everyone with me so far? I'm giving you a crash course. Now, you may be thinking right now, Simon, thank you so much. I'll ask you more questions later. That all sounds great. But how does this fit with what's already out there? Is this just another thing to distract us? How is this distinctive? How is this special? Why does it exist? Now, I just want to reiterate this. Word in the City exists to support, resource, and contribute to the church's Bible training objective. That's vital to note. It is not a church plant. It will never become a church plant. The vision doesn't allow it to become a church plant. So church leaders, do not fear. That's not what it is. It is not a replacement of the church and its Bible studies. It is a contribution to the disciple-making purposes of the church. It is a way to encourage young adults to get into the Bible, and is a way to encourage young adults to get back into the churches. Now, how are we doing that? Word in the City, in the name, it only exists city centre. It's only in neutral venues. Like in the Mac, it's in the Liberal Arts Centre, right in the middle. We have signs everywhere about Word in the City. Imagine the witness and impact that is amazing. And the fact they invited us in there to the hotspot of the culture in the city. So anywhere it goes, it's always in a neutral venue, because we're finding consistently that many young adults will not step foot into a church building if they don't like it. So is there another way to get into Scripture? We are seeing that happening with this. And it's a great support and resource, therefore, for the church. The focus is week long. So you imagine, like, the study goes the whole year, 30 weeks, right the way through a book. There's a weekly schedule in place. On Monday, it's solo study. Tuesday, solo study. On Wednesday, they gather together for the discussion groups in the neutral venue and the live lecture with the app for the anonymous questioning and other group feedback. And then they're given more notes should they want it to go even deeper and even further. But the Word Alive element, so if you, in 30 weeks, three 10-week blocks, 1 week during each of those 10-week blocks, we have a different night, which is very much focused on encouraging and equipping them to get out of here. So it could be people from business coming in, or the arts coming in, or church leaders coming in, still discussing, but looking at how does this apply, where do we go next? And that's all happening in a neutral venue. So
the guys who are coming, though, are these typically people maybe who've been in church and then have wandered off or going to students, or who are they?
Great, a whole mix of people. So how this has been, like, again, we're trying this, testing this, but what we're seeing happening is the following. First of all, it's not a church. So people are coming in who have either maybe walked away from the church but want to find out more about the Bible. They are then discovering that God's strategy is the church, and away they go back. So many stories like that. That is exciting. Another story is that a lot of people, like post-Alpha or post-Christianity Explored, you're introduced to the gospel. Not everyone responds to the Lord on the last night of that, but they may be interested to read Scripture, but they don't want to walk into a church building. So what's the alternative? Here's an alternative that they can go to. So we've had people come in like that, and then just by being in the... So one night we had a walk-in. He came up with a pint in his hand, because he was a guy flying in from France. He heard that there was something going on upstairs, and he just walked in and wanted to find out more. So we're having Christians, non-Christians, those who are disgruntled and fed up, etc.
Where else Europe.
We are beginning the European drive. So I'm presenting this to invite you in now to let you know early what's happening. So if this comes up in a month, 2 months, 6 months time, you're like, oh, must contact Warren City guys about that.
You're using the materials from BESF, right? Mm-hmm. So do they have translated in other languages, do you know?
Yes, so it's in Mandarin, I believe, first of all. It's also in, at the moment, being translated into Spanish. It is in, there's another language. I don't know if it's French or not. So they are gradually expanding the languages to provide this resource. If you know anything about Bible Study Fellowship, you know it doesn't look like it. We're using different language, different terminology. We're changing up the experience of the night. The next stage is to digitize and get things on apps, but also to change the content, not to water it down, but to bring new things that are relevant and applicable to today. So that is coming. So what's next? You've told me about BSF. You've told me a bit about young adults, Simon. Thanks very much. You've told me about BSF in the background, a bit of your story. That's great. Cheers. And you've told me about Word in the City and its framework and its structure. What is happening next? Well, this is a global model being tested in international sites and starting in Europe. So at the moment, it's in Europe, but it will be in Melbourne, New York, Nairobi, and then the European cities. And that's purposeful because it is an international model, not an Irish one and not an American one. So we've got to listen to every city it goes into. So at the moment, London have just jumped on and they're bringing all sorts of new ideas that works and fits. Belfast is not the only city on the planet. And that's important to know. So the next step is the pockets of different people in each of the cities who are hearing about this say, we would love this in our city. Where do we go? How do we start this? And that is what's led to the five cities going from one to five. And therefore, it's always been a case where we feel like we're chasing after God. He keeps drawing these people in, and then it pops up. And there are a number of different steps in terms of a city launch strategy. So if you're listening to this and thinking, I need to find out more, this is a great start, Simon, but I can see something like this could be really effective and strategic in my city for the young adults for 20s and 30s there, then we can begin the process with you. And typically, this is an example of what happened in London. Bunch of people in London connected through the BSF networks and beyond thought this would be great. We would love it here. They invited us in to give some presentations to leaders and influencers and churchgoers and non-Christians. They then started the prayer and satellite group off the Belfast class and thought this is great. Then they've developed and trained their team to perform the different roles. And now they're getting ready to launch the London Word in the City for the Roman study in September. And that's the next study, from September to June, study in Romans.
How do you get my group? But you're doing a Bible study with... You make posters, put it outside of a city. How do you get my group? You said like there were people that previously maybe have been to church.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the group?
So far, it's just say you were excited about this and you would love to see it in your city. What's... There you go. Word in the City.
700,000
students. Whoa, that's a lot of people. So imagine you thought, and you had maybe four or five others that you shared this with and they thought this would be class. Going by what's happened so far, they've gathered together. They've invited, for example, me to come over and share about with the whole group what's going on. They started praying about it, dreaming about it, wondering what could happen. After that, once the momentum starts to build, then what we've done is enable them to be a satellite of the Belfast group or the London group, so they can start to learn how it works, but they can also crucially start to feed into the model. Because Word in the City Krakow could be very different to Word in the City Belfast. We've got to listen to the city. You know how people here think. I don't. But there's a model here. There's a resource here. There's a global network here. And it's neutral. It's interdenominational. But it's focused on in-depth Bible study. So with that, then there's a whole social media backing and web presence. So to actually promote it, digitally is usually very effective, but we also have, you'll get some cards later on tonight that we put out in the chairs to pass the word around. There's loads of different things that we can bring you through, but it's getting a faithful core. They have a vision for their own city. I don't have a vision for all the cities. I'm just like passing it on.
So what is the average number of a group? How many? Is there a recommendation on the number of?
Well, let me give you some of what happened in Belfast. Again, remember, I didn't expect any of this. I just thought, I'm just journeying with the Lord. We started with 12, okay? Then we went to 30 for the Revelation study. Then we just started to do a little bit of social media, put it out there. And we about 115 came in September. Now, we didn't expect that whatsoever. Like, this is the Bible study at the end of the day in a neutral venue. So that showed us that there is a hunger, there is a desire. So if that is what's going to happen in these other cities, then we've got to get ready to respond. So we'll start with however small a group. It doesn't have to be 50, it doesn't have to be 100 in order to qualify. If there's 10 people studying the Bible in Krakow, and that is inspiring them to trust the Lord, get back in this church and be on and invite others, that is amazing.
My idea of the Bible study group, you know, when I heard it, that it's more like interactive and they talk to each other and all that, but if you say that you have 150, that's not interactive, I'm assuming, right? It's just, how do you do that?
Well, do you want me to walk you through a typical night? Will that help? Yeah, so welcome to Belfast. Imagine you're in the city and you're going to the Cathedral Quarter, and there's an arts centre there called the Mac, where all sorts of shows take place, and there's a cafe there. It's a very public place. So you go in and you see a sign, Warden of the City, sixth floor, and you go up and it's a room called the Factory, used for ballet, I think, or some sort of dance class. Great room, great facilities. The time is around 7:30. There's coffee and tea. Everyone getting comfortable, getting ready, all sorts of people, great buzz. People from all backgrounds, all the rest. We kick off probably about 22, never can with, you know, everyone arrives exactly on the money. Start at 22, there's introductions, a welcome, hello. And then immediately they get into discussion groups, okay? So let me talk about those discussion groups. The goal is that everyone there has been able to read the scripture in order to really enjoy that discussion group. But of course not everyone will. It's not like, can I check your homework please, or else you're not coming in. But of course you want to encourage reading so you really enjoy the insights. So what we do is begin with what I did tonight, a Kickstarter question on the text. That kicks things off so that everyone's on the level playing field and they're going together looking at the text. Then they work their way through questions. We put questions on the screen to help aid the discussion, but they also would have got questions to do at home if they're helpful. Okay? Now, during that time, not everyone likes to ask questions out loud, so the app is working, the Socrative app. That's what it's called, Socrative. That enables people to start asking questions anonymously from the very beginning. So that brings the interaction, those who are quiet. But imagine a group of, and this is a real group in Belfast, one's an atheist, but wants to find out what Christians are talking about, or why they're reading the Bible. Another one is coming from a Muslim background, but is really curious, it's just come out of Alpha Course. Others are Christians, and perhaps some are struggling. Now that is a fascinating dynamic, of them all reading scripture in one group, and discussing their insights. After that, we have a 5-minute break, coffee and tea. And then with a larger group like that, we have what's the group feedback bit. Because the goal is not to have someone in the front who's the guru, who knows everything. He is the teacher. But actually, we open it up for group feedback. So all the groups share an insight, or a debate, or a comment, all focus on the text that they learned. And that means there's a really good learning dynamic in the room. After that, then we move in to the live lecture. And the live lecture is only 25 minutes.
On the same night as the discussion?
Same night. 25 minutes, and then 10 minutes at the end for Q&R. We call it not Q&A, Q&R, question and response. Get you off the hook a bit, because we just want everybody to ask questions. We may not be able to answer them all, but it's important that people can ask them and we can point them in the right direction. Then the night ends, people stay as long as they want afterwards, and away we go and beyond.
So the level of, let's say, theology, the study, it's not very high to understand, or it's just, is it basic things that you're studying when you go through a book, or do you go in depth? Is it friendly for the non-believers? You know, this my.
And those are the three tracks, and this is where we need each of the cities to help us develop this. A track for people who are coming new to the Bible, just new Christian, or haven't read it before. So an on-ramp for them is going to be really important, and a particular group will be really important for them. But then you've got Christians who just want to develop the discipline, want to get into Scripture, and are really struggling to do so. And then those who are experienced students of the Word. Now, the notes they get are not just flimsy. Not that any notes are ever flimsy, but the level of them are the suitable depth. But we're developing other, like a one-page version of those notes. You're talking about 6,000 words of notes all laid out for someone to go really deep. But we also want to provide something for someone who can only go a little bit. So far, so good. Like, we're learning as we go. That's the thing. But the model's coming together increasingly, and as we move into other cities, it starts to develop. Neutral venue, we've got that. We've got a great structure in place, great resources in place, a massive global network, a headquarters with great training for the leaders. All that's there for the church and for the people of the church. But it's right in the middle of the city, deliberately. So can we enable people who are coming from those different vantage points access Scripture? It's all about accessibility, finding a way into Scripture, not watering it down, but still having those three different tracks, if you like. That's what we want to do. Now, we're listening to those who are brave enough just to walk in and jump into it. For example, they don't like us calling it young adults. We got that recent feedback. Why are you saying young adults? Because it just makes me feel like I'm a student, or it's quite patronized. I'm an adult. What is your problem with the young? We keep getting that at the moment. I don't know if you guys are hearing that too. So maybe we just need to get that, take that out. Bible study training for people. But they'll know by how it looks and feels and the experience that it's for young adults. Belfast is different from Dublin, and they're 2 hours away. So Dublin, what they needed was to make the lecture bit, which is still going to be part of the whole thing, not compulsory. Right? What I mean by this, a lot of them are coming from a Roman Catholic background. They don't want what they fear, maybe Protestant finger-pointing teaching. That's what they fear at first. It's not that we're going to stop teaching and directing them in the truth. But what they're coming in for is that first bit of the discussion or reading the text and sharing. Before then, there's a 10-minute break, and then a number of them will go. But increasingly, we hope that more of them will want to stay. So in terms of the timing of the whole night, we're finding some people are coming for that component part as they dabble in and read Scripture for the first time. Now, it is a 2-hour setting. It is Bible study. But it's a variety of different things. It's not one person teaching. In terms of discussion group, the breaks, the group dynamic, the Q&A, and then only a 25-minute lecture, a lot shorter than my lecture. So I don't know how you're finding it if you're in ministry of the young adults. It's hard to get the right terminology. If you say young adult in Northern Ireland, people think 18 to 23-year-old. If you then, another attempt we had was to say 20 to 39, but it just gets really messy. If you call them millennials, a lot of them are like, oh, please, don't. For those who are worried about the segregation between the generations, what we're also doing in this model, by listening to the young adults who are not young adults, are adults, you know, I'll not say it again, we all know, is to have what we're calling like group mentors. We're not calling them that, and the young adults don't view them as group mentors, but they want to hear from the older generations. The difference is that they're setting the culture and the experience of it, bringing in the technologies, joining the innovation of it. They're the finger on the pulse of it. But the older, like 40, not that older, it's not that old, sorry, 40, 50, 60, one in each of the groups just to share their life and insight that bring an extra depth to the Bible study helps bridge that gap. And I want to learn from people older than me. Why would I just want to learn from peers? You know? So that, to answer your, like, it is looking at that 20s and 30s age range, but we're bringing in almost hand-picked people who really want to engage with them. And can I bring you through a typical week now? So I brought you through a typical night. So if you imagine a week schedule, let me bring you through it. So you've joined with your church on a Sunday morning, and it was amazing. Worshiping the Lord, hearing great teaching, all the rest. That night, you receive an email prompt, eventually it'll be an app prompt, with an overview video and the text and the questions to get you going for the week. So the solo study never stops. We want to develop habit of reading the Word and spend time with God, don't we? Not being dependent on someone unpacking it all the time. So Sunday the prompt comes. Then Monday and Tuesday, if you gather right in the middle of the Wednesday, which is ideal, Monday and Tuesday, you're jumping in and out as much as you can. We're even doing an audio listening of the scripture too, because everyone's commuting. Life is just mental. Not to replace reading of the text. I just love, look at the size of that. Like, come on. I still carry that around. Just love the paper, the text. So then come the Wednesday. That's when the gathering is. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can go even deeper in the text. But the focus, especially on Saturday and Sunday, is the Word Alive element, getting in the culture and into your churches. Now, looking at that, you could say you're setting the bar way up here. And the danger is that you're setting people up for defeat, for failure. How many times have you tried to get in the Bible study and you get so disappointed that you lose the habit within a few days? And that's what we want to try to change from the BSF model, which is in depth, the bar set high. But we're wanting to bring it, okay. So in terms of those different tracks, we just want to help some people to get reading scripture fundamentally. The goal is to get into scripture. And we'd love to see them on the Wednesday night. So if they're able to read it and begin developing the habit, then we need to develop that track. How can we encourage somebody, meet them where they're at, and bring them on that journey? That is our goal. And so you're right, if you just look at the Bible study and if everyone had to reach that, you're only going to get a niche group of people, the study warriors. So it's a very important question as part of the innovation of the model. Some, no matter what, love their local church and the community, and they want to do everything, all their Bible studies within their walls, maybe not physically, but just in their own patch. Wonderful. And so they wouldn't ever want to link into this whatsoever. And you pray that they have a brilliant Bible study and they're flourishing. That is great. This is a way to get in the scripture, not the way. We're not looking at churches and going, you guys haven't got it right. Come to us, we'll show you how to do a Bible study. That is not the attitude here whatsoever. So that's one response. Another response, the other extreme, is a church plant. Just kicked off, maybe only a few leaders. A lot of people are starting to come. The fundamental thing they could do is to find a way to get them into scripture amidst everything else that is going on. So they're them being very susceptible and saying, yes, brilliant. Here's a resource, an equipping resource that could really help mature the people from the word go. Then you've got some churches in the middle, you're like, oh, it's great, really good. I love the strategy of it. I'm hearing good stories of people come to their churches, but we're not going to actively promote it in our church. Or another one will say, I want to adopt this as part of our disciple-making process. This is brilliant. I think about 20% of our guys could definitely go to this and benefit, especially if they're going to deepen in the Word and come back into the children's ministries, thinking about the next generation and beyond. And that is middle one, I would say, is the preferred, that you adopt it as part of the strategy, as an option, an available resource for people to get in-depth Bible study, if that's what they need. But again, some churches have brilliant Bible studies. Again, we're innovating BSF. They would have a paper form of the notes, and the notes you would get at the end. So what there would be first is questions to guide you through the study of the text, and then you get notes to help you dig deeper. Now, we have started providing it in PDF, at least, until we get the app developed, where people can access it, and it's an editable PDF. They can write questions there, they can read on it. But if you imagine, like, most people are flicking through things with their thumb these days. And if you have 6,000 words, that's a lot of words to get through in your notes. So that's why we need to create the 500 word one at least. And then there's the option to have the 6,000 word notes behind that if they want to go deeper. So accessibility is the word, innovating and accessible. And that is one of it. We need to embrace the new technologies to make what BSF does brilliantly even better. Paint a picture of the impact on the church that we're really excited about and pray for. First of all, to bring an increasing unity in the diversity. We love how people from all backgrounds are coming together to focus on the Word of God and thereby Christ. That is wonderful and it's refreshing and it's great for the witness of the church, isn't it? That we are actually united, though we have these differences. And I know there's a disunity there and it's really difficult between churches and all the rest. But that's one thing. Also, the biblical literacy, I presume a number of you are concerned about that as well. People not finding a way to get into Scripture. But I'm really excited about how this could develop more people for the church. Not just the pastors and main leaders, but actually the lay people, if you like. Don't like that term either. But the people. Train them in the Scripture. And get them back into the churches. And then, I don't know, the impact in the city will be interesting. I don't know what's going to come of this. But this being in the middle of the city, and if there is an anti-establishment and an anti-institution sentiment going on in their cities, then this could provide a way for people to read Scripture and go back out into the churches. And the list goes on. But we're on a journey. We find ourselves keeping up with God, chasing Him. The constant motivation with this, though, as we move forward, is to pray the Lord, keep chasing, but listen to the cities. Listen to the cities. Share the resource and listen to the cities if we invite them into the innovation. So there you have it. We're in the city where it is today in 2017. Why don't I finish by committing our time to the Lord? He brought us through this. Father, thank you for bringing us together to hear about what you're building, what you're doing for your church with Word in the City. Thank you for all the questions, all the thoughts, all the ideas, all the concerns, even all the notes that were taken. I pray that you would show us where you want to go next, where you might lead us, where you might lead everyone in this room. If this is something that you feel that should be in their city, for the churches there, may it be, and may we keep chasing and enjoy the chase. For we seek to glorify the one and only Redeemer and Savior of the universe. That is Jesus Christ the Lord. In his name, amen.